Okay, we've been talking about the laying on of hands. I want to remind you we're talking about the elementary principles of the Word of God. And one of them is the laying on of hands. And that's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary, but I say elementary.
Elementary.
Elementary or elementary. Which one is it?
Elementary.
Is it depend where you're from? I don't know. So the principles, the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity. Tell somebody next to you to grow up, please. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms. How many baptisms are there? Three. What are they? I'm waiting for Nate in the back. What are they, Nate? Three. Very good. And then the laying on of hands is what we're covering right now. And then the resurrection of the dead. How many resurrections are there? What are they? Jesus. Rapture. Martyred. Old Testament saints. The white throne judgment. How do you guys know that? You've not been in this class. Stinking Rudy. Stealing my stuff. I think he teaches this book there, doesn't he? Teaches Rock Solid Faith in Houston. How is Rudy and the church doing down there? Are they flooded? Awesome. Praise the Lord. We have insurance? I'll call Rudy to make sure we have insurance, dear Jesus. Okay, and then the eternal judgments. How many judgments are there? What are they? Bema seat, who goes to the Bema seat? Who's we? Christians. What do you judge for? Then you have the what other one? White throne, who gets judged there? How many books? What are the two books? And? Book of Works. Very good. If you're at the white throne judgment, can you go to heaven? Nope. Where are you going? Lake of fire. Whoopsie. So, the laying on of hands, we start talking about it, that it's elementary principles. What happens to many people is we wait for pastors to come to lay hands on you, to minister to you, and that is very important. But you need to understand that this is elementary school for you. You should be laying hands on people. Well, we talked about the anointing. What is the anointing? The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. The anointing is the energy or the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so every one of us, how many of you are born again? How many of you are not, so we can have a salvation message if necessary? Is everybody born again? Yes? If you are born again, glory to God, that means who lives inside of you? No, it's not Jesus, not Jesus. Who? Holy Spirit. The Bible says you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit, that means the Spirit of God dwells within you. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, what does it say? Very good. The anointing abides within you. See, the anointing resides where? Inside. The old covenant, the anointing came upon. But Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. And the better promise is that now the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us rather than coming upon us. And that is the blessing of heaven. And so what happens is we know that the anointing abides where? Within. If the anointing abides within, how do you get it out? Now, last week we talked about how every single believer is anointed. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. Now that's found where? Romans chapter 8. I knew you knew that. So in Romans chapter 8, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. He shall quicken your mortal body by that same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are anointed. What is the anointing? The power of heaven waiting to be released out of you. Well, what does that power do? It does supernatural things. What are the supernatural things? Well, we can look in Matthew chapter 10 and see what Jesus told the disciples to do. And the disciples were told to what? Raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. I think there's one more, isn't there? Well, whatever, we'll move on. And so these are supernatural things. You can't naturally even heal a fly. You can't cast out a devil by telling them to go away. You can't medicate out a devil. You have to cast out in the authority of the name of Jesus. That is the anointing being released. So as a believer, we are all anointed. Now, we talked about how to increase that anointing. You increase the anointing by what? Number one, you got to get saved. Number two, praying in tongues. You need to pray and you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Tonight, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues. Pastor Chad will pray with you. Where did he go? There he is. Pastor Chad will pray with you right after service, and you'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. That will increase the anointing. We know the anointing can be measured. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that Jesus had the anointing without measure. Well, if it can be measured in Christ, it can be measured in you. So there's a need to increase the anointing. Now, if you take a power line and you increase the energy in it, let's say you take it from 110 to 220, what actually happens on that power line? It gets stronger. You have more ability. I'll give you a good example of one we experienced here at His Tabernacle that was not fun. When they were designing this building, the electrician made a oopsie. And the oopsie that the electrician made was, he forgot to add in the loads, the electrical loads, for all the air conditioners. Now, what that meant was, it's not regular 110. You have to have what's called three-phase, which is extremely powerful. So that cost us, his mistake cost us here, $42,000, and it drained our account that day. But they had to actually take wires from all the way down the other end of the street and bring them down here, run them underground to our building. But what that allowed us to do, we could have all the air conditioners on this building that we want, but without three phase, you are going to be hot. Because it takes more energy to power that. We need to recognize that the anointing is within you to do what? To do supernatural exploits so that you can be used to do supernatural things for Jesus. So many Christians think that they're just these weak little people hoping to make it by. I want you to know that the Holy Ghost dwells within you, that same one that dwelled inside Jesus Christ, and that you can do supernatural things. You can lay hands on sick people. You can cast out devils. You can do all the mighty works of God. All these are available and for you, but if you don't believe it, then the energy of God, where does the anointing abide? So you can be all anointed, but until you flick the switch. Oh, Terry, brother Terry, you want to run back to the switch? Now, I want to tell you that there are power stations. We have what's called a power grid. And energy are generated usually by turbines. Hold on, I'll tell you when. By turbines. And what happens is energy is then sent to substations. From substations, it's sent down the wires, and we have transformers. From transformers, it's sent into the building, and the building, it goes into a panel. And when it gets into the panel, then it's dispersed to the rooms. So right now, there is energy flowing to this room. How do we know that? Because you can see the light. All right, turn off the lights. Off. Oh, you can't turn them off. No, you're good, Alan. We'll just do this. We'll help the TV people. You're blessed tonight because I liked it dark. Right now, all the lights that are back in front of me are off. But is there power coming to the building for them? So why are those lights not on? Oh, flick the switch. Flick the switch. On. Flick the switch. On. Flick the switch. Off. Ready? Flick the switch. On. Flick the switch. Off. Flick the switch. On. Flick the switch. Off. Flick the switch. On. What's the difference? The power is coming to the room, no matter whether or not you can see or not. The only difference is someone's flicked the switch. It allowed the power to come into the lights that are in the room. So when the lights are off or the switch is flicked off, it's not that there's no power, but there's no power being released to go to the lights. Until the power is released to go to the lights, flick the switch. Right now, the power is there. The lights have capability. We want to be able to see. Everything is available. But until you flick the switch, the power doesn't go to the lights. Until you and I learn how to flick the switch, the power dwells within us. You're around sick people all the time. You're around people that need God to touch them supernaturally all the time. We had a demon-possessed woman in the church on Sunday morning. I think that was stinking fun. You know, she was growling at people and everything on Sunday morning. It was pretty cool. I know. I missed it too. You see, that's the problem with being up here. I don't see everything. But they told me really good stories. The amazing part is this, is that you can't cast out a devil until you flick the switch. You can't see somebody healed until you flick the switch. Well, is the power there? The power's always there. The anointing abides within. 1 John 2:20. So if the anointing abides, but you aren't being used in supernatural things of God, does that mean that the power isn't there? Are you with me now? Because I'm losing you. Does it mean the power's not there? No, it means the power is there, but you have to learn how to flick the switch. Flick the switch. So until you flick the switch, there's no lights. Until you flick the switch, no one's going to get healed. Until you flick the switch, no one's going to get delivered. Until you flick the switch, I don't know what else to say, but it all works together. I like playing with lights. So flicking the switch is powerful, and you need to know how to do that. And we're talking about elementary school, aren't we? Elementary school says this. The basic principle of releasing the anointing is by the laying on of hands. So if the anointing abides, how do you get the anointing out? If the power of God is there to do the works of God, how do you get the power out of your spirit to touch somebody? Actually, you don't even have to pray. You can put that down. It's the laying on of hands. So the anointing abides within you. The anointing is resident within you. And the Bible says that if you lay hands on somebody, now there are different ways to lay hands on people. I'll give you the Shambach laying hands on. No, I better not do it to you. Terry! Jalen, come on up here. You have a good back, right? Okay. It's really funny because there are certain people they lay hands on differently. Now I'm really a gentle laying hands on kind of guy. You know, I'll usually actually touch you and then pull my hand off you because I don't want anybody to say that I pushed you down. But we know people. Jesus, I believe God, you're gonna touch them today. Now, really, Shambach would do this. Dude, hang on, man. Hang on. No, but he would actually hit him. Boom! He would take your neck, and you'd not have a choice to fall out. Or you'd pray to fall out before he touched you. Now, if it was Smith Wigglesworth, if you had a stomach ache, he would just go like this. He would punch you. If you had a headache. But that is the truth. So you need to know how to lay hands on people nicely. Because it's not you doing the work. When I used to work for my father with a hammer, I would be bam, bam, bam with that hammer. And my father would say, let the hammer do the work. You're working too hard. And you need to recognize when you start moving in the anointing, it's not you and I doing it. It's not you and I moving in the supernatural power of God. It's you and I allowing the supernatural power of God to come out of us. So you're not working hard. You know, I don't have to work up a sweat to lay hands on people. Now, I do sweat. I never really sweat before until the last few years. I have to actually put deodorant on twice in a day. Yeah, I've never had to do that before. You know, for like maybe 15 years, I never even wore deodorant. No, I didn't need to. I never smelled. Now, I think I'm just getting old. I don't know what it is. But, you know, it's amazing because we pray for people. We lay hands on people. And most people don't understand what it means. See, this is the power of this class. You now are going to step into the opportunity of understanding how to receive because you're understanding how it's released. The elementary principle of the laying on of hands is how you get the anointing from here out you into them. And the very basic elementary school is the laying on of hands. Now, where's your spirit? Bible says the rivers of living water shall flow out of the innermost parts of your belly. So the anointing, your spirit man is not in your heart. You know, when I was a kid, I always thought Jesus actually had like, you know, he lived in my heart. You know, because they said, do you want to accept Jesus into your heart? It actually comes into your spirit. Your spirit is in the innermost parts of your belly. So what happens is when you are releasing that anointing, there must be a level of faith to get the anointing out of your spirit, out through your hand and into them. Now, I remember when I first started learning this, I would pray for people and you would feel nothing. But you see, whether you feel anything or not is not the issue. The facts are the facts. If I have Terry run back and turn the lights on and off, no, you don't have to. I know that you're getting winded, so let's move on here. If I said, turn the lights off, is the power coming to the building? Well, you can't see it. You can't see the power coming to the building. How do you know it's there? You get a nice egg, Bill, and that's a very well, best way to say it. Amen. What else can you say? That is the truth. You get a nice egg, Bill. The issue is that until you believe that when you flick the switch, the power of God's going to be released, then you're going to constantly keep the lights out. So you've got to believe. This is part of faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. And so laying hands on people, literally what you're doing is by faith, you're saying, in the name of Jesus, I release the anointing of God in Jesus' name. Now, there's different ways to do that. A lot of times, I don't say a word. You've noticed if I prayed for you, I don't say anything. Well, why is that? Because I don't need to say anything. Why don't I need to say anything? Because it's not me. I've learned over the years how to bring the anointing from that innermost parts of the belly to literally touch people. What's amazing is as your faith grows, and we'll get into this in a little bit, you actually don't even need to lay hands on people. What happens is this is elementary school. So every believer that's in this room, where does the anointing abide? Tell somebody, I'm anointed. What's the anointing? It's the power of heaven residing within. Supernatural power. Not natural power, supernatural power. So where does the supernatural power reside? Within. So every one of you have the power to lay hands on sick people and see them recover. So why don't you see sick people recover? Because most of you never lay hands on a sick person. Why haven't you seen a devil cast out? You've never cast out a devil. Until you start laying hands on people and releasing the anointing, you start to learn. We're watching Julian right now, my grandson. We're watching him get to a new place. He's in a new phase, and it happened, I believe it was on Saturday. where on Saturday, he actually started to scooch. So all this time, he's just laying there. Now he's starting to scooch. Today, he was over at the house, and you lay him on the floor, and he's starting to sit up on his own. He sits up on his own like this. You thought he just had a whole thing of tequila or something. You know what I mean? He ate the worm. You know, he's weebling all over the place. Well, why is that? Because he's learning balance. In elementary school, when you're learning 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, you don't get them quick that easy the same day unless you're brilliant. You learn them. You make mistakes and you learn them. In the anointing, you have to practice in the anointing or else you're never going to know how to flow in the power of God. So elementary school is where you're beginning, and that is laying hands on people. You need to learn how to lay hands on yourself. If you're sick, lay hands on yourself. If you find somebody sick, lay hands on them. I was teaching this up in Maine, and this lady had a cat that was sick. She laid hands on her cat. God healed her cat. I had a lady bring her dog when I was pastoring in Newfield. Her dog had just eaten rat poisoning. It was a Springer Spaniel, and it was white, and it had a nice green tinge to it. And the doctor sent her home from the vet and said, your dog's going to die. It ate too much poison. There's nothing we can do. I laid hands on that dog in the name of Jesus. God healed that dog. There was a lady who came to us. She said, Pastor, I need you to pray for my horse. And I said, well, what's wrong with your horse? She said, a stick went into the frog. And if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to explain it to you. The stick went into the frog, and the horse is lame, and they're talking about putting the horse down because there's no way to fix that kind of accident. I said, well, I believe that Jesus can heal your horse. So we laid hands on that horse in the name of Jesus, and the vet came back, and that the horse's frog was completely whole. I've watched God heal a car before. Where a car was broken, there was nothing anybody could do. Laid hands on a car in the name of Jesus, and the car was fixed. How is that possible? Because there is supernatural power from heaven within you. If God can create, listen now, everything on this planet comes from dirt. How many of you have a cell phone? Do you know where your cell phone came from? Dirt. Everything in your cell phone has come from dirt. Every component came from dirt. If God can create dirt, listen now, even beyond dirt, molecules, and we talk about all the different essence of science, God created, why can't God heal a car? Why can't God heal a body that he created in the first place? But the issue is that the body of Christ has been taught to step away from the supernatural. We bring in the superstars. Now, there's nothing wrong with bringing in guest speakers. But when you're relying upon the superstar to lay hands on you to see God move in your life, then you're missing the whole point because that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. So if God can move on you by living in you, then you can learn to release the anointing inside of you and see the supernatural power of God released in you. And I've just seen it so many times. So the laying on of hands is elementary school. This is not something that is really big. That's basic. And what you're going to start feeling and what you're going to start experiencing, the more you practice in the gifts, the more you practice the laying on of hands, is you'll actually feel the stirring in your spirit and you'll actually feel the power of God go down your arm and out your hands. Neil Hallquist, a man in Gardner, Massachusetts. At one point in time, we had services in Gardner when I was on the road as an evangelist. Neil was a weightlifter. I don't want to exaggerate, 250, 260, at least 250, 260 pounds. Big man, big man, big. And so he's standing like here, and these are metal chairs in this room that I rented. And I went up to him, and I just felt the surge of the anointing. And I went to go lay hands on him, both hands, and I got about 6 inches from him, and I'm not exaggerating. Ma was there, I believe. He literally was picked up and thrown back four rows. I never touched him. About a half hour, 45 minutes later, he got up. He'd been out in the spirit that long. And he looked at me, and he goes, did you see that? And I said, you flew a long way. He goes, no, did you see that? He says, you got, He says, the last thing I remember, you got about like six inches away, and it was like lightning bolts were literally coming out of your fingers, and when they hit me, that's all I remember. The anointing is real. The energy of God is real. The supernatural power residing within you is real. But if you never start exercising, you'll never start perfecting. If you never start exercising, you'll never start releasing. If you never start releasing, the lights are out. Not that you can't go to heaven, but dear Lord, you're not called to go to heaven. If you were called just to go to heaven, you'd already be dead. If Jesus saved you just to go to heaven, then the day you got saved, you die. It'd be hard filling a church that way, wouldn't it? Greater works than he did. Why? Because God wants to show himself loving and powerful on this planet that people will believe. I love what Jesus said. If you don't believe me, believe the works that I did. When you watch Jesus, I got to get back to the book or we're going to be too long. Dear Lord. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy was cleansed. So elementary school is, you need to start laying hands. Moms and dads, you need to lay hands on your children every single morning. I'm not talking spanking them. I'm talking like you need to lay hands on them and release the anointing in their life. You need to release the power of God in their life. I did that. Listen now, I believe proof's in the pudding. I was not the perfect dad or the best dad. But I want you to know that we did specific things on purpose. Every morning, not only did we do devotions with our children. Actually, I was the morning guy. She was the night lady. I did devotions with my children every single morning. I prayed with them every morning. But I also laid hands on them and released the anointing in their life every single morning. Now again, my wife and I have been married 28 years. 27 years. Been married 27 years. We have three children. Cody is the youth pastor here. And listen, Cody could leave here and get a youth pastor anywhere. That kid is gifted. Chad, anointed and will be probably on the road traveling the world. That's what he and his spouse will end up doing in the future. They're going to travel the world and do missions all over the world. What happened to that woman who was the witch doctor? I need you to come up here quickly. I know it's been a long time since you've run. I've watched your pants grow.
Marriage, it does a lot. Am I speaking into this?
Yeah, you just are close.
Okay. She was not just a witch doctor, but she was like the head of all of the witch doctors in that local area. And you could tell because when they come and they pay the witch doctor to either, you know, they have sickness or something like that, they actually give them payment. This woman had a mountain of things that were given to her. Like you walked in the room and you're like, cell phones, clothing, like everything piled in here. And we walked in and she was laying down and she had two of the crutches, one that grabs here and then one grabs behind the elbow, and she couldn't stand. And so we came and we began to preach the gospel to her, and she actually looked at us and said, oh, I know Jesus. And she started, yeah, it was kind of an awkward thing. And we started ministering to her though, and we said, you know, it was another guy that was actually preaching to her, and he said, Chad, why don't you go over and pray for her and let Jesus heal her? And so I walked over, I laid hands on her, and she stood up, and she went to reach for her things, and we were like, no, try to do it without it. And she started to walk a little bit, and then she started to dance a little bit, and then she started to lift her hands and glorify God. And then at the end, I took a picture with her with both of the crutches above her head, praising God.
Amen. Completely healed. Amen. Laid hands on her and God did the work. Who did the work? That's right. The moment somebody believes that they're the ones doing the work, that's when you're messed up. You and I are conduits. What's a conduit? Let's just talk about a pipe. E.M. Bounds says it this way. We are a golden pipe that God pours his golden oil through. The less you have obstructing it, the more power or the more oil is released to bring change into people's life. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We know in the book of Isaiah, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. So you and I are conduits of God. And the more we learn how to flow in that anointing, the more we learn how to release that anointing, the more the anointing will literally increase in our life. It's called a cistern in the Bible, where actually it's something that would hold water. Remember Jesus, when he was making water into wine, he said, go collect all these cisterns. They're about 25, 30 gallons. And they would fill them. But you had the choice to fill them little or fill them much. It was measurable. And you see, God, as you and I are cisterns or vessels of honor is what God calls us, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us totally up. But there's no need to have more anointing if you don't even use what you got. The more you give, the more you get. The more you release, the more you increase. The more you seed, the more you reap. And this is what's happened in the body of Christ. We've stopped teaching the people to lay hands on the sick. We've stopped teaching. We make it almost like superstar time, you know? Wait till the superstar comes. Listen, lay hands on yourself, release the anointing. It abides within you. God can do supernatural things no matter where you are. If you find somebody sick, lay hands on them. Well, what if they don't get healed? But what if they do get healed? What do you got to lose? Sister Shirley, on Sunday morning, I showed... We gave the testimony of her miracle. She's 81 years old. She was hit by a car last year. She was hit by a police car last year in Wellsboro. $4 million in bills later. She still was unable to walk without assistance. And on Saturday night at the Rock the City, Pastor Palko laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. God healed her right there. Sunday morning, she's walking around the church. She's actually did a little jig here at the church. You know, no assistance, nobody around her. She hasn't been able to do that since she's been hit with a car. Well, how can that happen after all the therapy, after all the things the world has done, after all the pins and things that they've stuck in her body to keep her together? How in the world could she in 5 minutes be completely made free? It's because the power of God is real and it's supernatural. And she laid hands on her, released the anointing, and God did the work. That's not something special. That's you. That's every single believer. But if you don't believe that, the lights always stay off. And the more you start releasing, the more you start releasing, the more you start learning how to flow, the more you start learning how to release the power of God, the more the anointing will increase in your life. And what you'll start finding is you'll then be able to step because your faith level is so powerful. For me to lay hands on somebody, it's very rare that I just will step up to somebody in the name of Jesus, lay hands on them, and I will literally feel, not figuratively, but literally feel a surge of the anointing go up, go through my shoulders, through my hands, and touch them. Now, I gave you the testimony about that girl a few weeks ago. Her eyeballs popped out of her head. She had never felt Jesus before. And in that service, she felt Jesus. I remember even last year, these are just the ones that are popping in my head. There was an 11-year-old kid at the altar. And he was from the hood. He was one of the kids from Elmira that we bring up that knows nothing. Just keeping him from running around at the altar is a challenge. And so I walked over to him. He was joking around with his friends, and I felt the power of God just start to surge. And I laid hands on him, and he went like this. I said, you felt Jesus, didn't you? And he goes, I says, he's real, isn't he? He'll never be able to deny that. His faith is no longer built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. People need you. People need you to lay hands on them when they're sick. People need you to touch them at work. Now listen, you don't want to lay hands on people at work while you're working, while you're getting paid. Wait to break hour. You know, you do your break. You know, you're not there preaching to people during your time of work unless your boss says it's okay. Why? Because they're paying you to do a job. But you do get breaks. Now, all these people get smoke breaks. You could take a lay hands on people break, you know, however you want to pull it off. But you got to learn how to step into that. You know, you got to learn how to exercise that. But if you never lay hands on people and start practicing releasing the anointing, then you'll never do it. Another level, once you leave the basics of the laying on of hands, the next one is called speaking the word. You can release the anointing by speaking the word. That's found in Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 10. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is laying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." I love this. The centurion answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and to this one he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Assuredly, I say, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." This centurion knew the authority that he had on earth. And he knew that Jesus had authority in the Spirit. So he recognized, you don't need to come to my house because there is no distance in prayer. There is no distance when you release the anointing. All you have to do is speak the word. Now, this is where you start growing up, because there are times, and let's just take Reinhard Bonnke. Has anybody ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? No. Okay. Reinhard Bonnke speaks to crowds of 500,000+. All the time overseas. 500,000. Bonnke, B-O-N-K-E, I think it is. Reinhard Bonnke. In fact, I know somebody that was at one of his services in Africa, and they wanted to walk around to the other side of the stage, so they were going around. It took them over 30 minutes to walk around the crowd. 500,000 people. He cannot lay hands on 500,000 people. So what he has to do is he has to speak the word. They have so many notable miracles. Listen now, people overseas get healed so much faster than Americans. So he speaks the word over the crowd of this 500,000, and all of a sudden crutches start flying up in the air, blind eyes are open, deaf ears are able to hear, people that are crippled are able to run around, people in wheelchairs get out and they push them aside. It's a normal process. But you see, in America, we are keeping our people so far back because we're not even allowing them to step into the laying on of hands. If you don't start laying hands, you'll never get to the place where you have enough faith to speak the word and to see it done. I remember when I started practicing speaking the word. It was in Fort Plain, New York. It was a Sunday night, and I had words of knowledge that people with diabetes were going to be healed, and there was a person with, I don't remember if it was a leg or an arm, a limb problem that they were having, that they were in excruciating pain. I said, "If that's you, please stand up." A man stood up like 8 rows back, and then a woman stood up over here on the left-hand side in the second row. The woman was the person with diabetes, and the man was the portion with the limb. And the Holy Spirit said, "Just speak the word over them, and I'll heal them." Well, let me tell you, you know, when God starts stretching you in faith, is it me, is it God? 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 You go on the battle of, is it me, is it God? Is it me, is it God? Is it me, is it God? And you have to learn how to step out in faith. And so I remember looking at the woman and I said, "Get ready. God's going to heal you right where you are." And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing. Go." And I said, "God just healed you. Before you take your insulin, make sure you check yourself." I looked at the man and I said, "God's going to heal you right where you're at. In fact, there'll be an evidence. There'll be no more pain, no more excruciating pain. You'll be set free." I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command your limb to be made whole right now in Jesus' name." He was completely healed right there. The woman went home, almost died actually, because she didn't follow instructions. I told her to check her blood sugar first. She just took her insulin shot first. She was completely healed. That was the very first time I started learning how to speak the word and seeing and releasing the anointing over distance. Remember, there is no distance in prayer. There is no distance in releasing the power of God. What it is that you're targeting. It's almost like a missile. You know, in America, they get a coordinate and they type it in and they hit a button and that missile will go and blow wherever that coordinate is. In the spirit, it's the same thing. This man said to Jesus, listen, I'm a man under authority. If I tell a man go, he goes. If I tell him to come, he comes. If I tell my servant to do it, he does it. Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. This man recognized the authority that Jesus had in the spirit realm to where he didn't even need to be near. This paralyzed. We're talking like a paralyzed man. And Jesus spoke the word. Now, if you could see and I could see in the spirit, what would actually happen is when he spoke the word, the anointing was released into the air, into the firmament, and it went and it touched that person on the coordinates that they were sitting and laying at, and God would heal, revitalize, quicken their mortal body by that same spirit, and a miracle occurred. And that's exactly what happened. But you see, so many of us don't have enough faith even to lay hands on people because we've never stepped into that realm. It's time to grow up in Christ. The Bible says that we need to, what? Grow up. And the way to grow up is start to actively use. Now, in fact, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 real quickly, because I just got to read this before we keep cooking on here. I want you to see this. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that you come to need milk and not solid food. So here he's rebuking the church. He's rebuking the believers, saying, listen, you know, you've been saved long enough that you shouldn't have to keep doing elementary school. What's that movie with he's really funny, Adam Sandler. He goes back to elementary school. What is it called? Billy Madison. He went back to elementary school. Now, let's be honest, he looks stupid. Oh, let's be real. I mean, here's a man, what was he, like in his 20s, right? Went back to elementary school. Why did he do that? Well, he wanted to get a company. But we have a lot of believers that have never been to elementary school and they've been saved 20 years. They've never learned 1 + 1. And they've been born again so long that they should be teachers by this time and not sucking milk. Now, I don't know if you've seen this before, but I have, and it touched me in a very poor way. I was down in Mexico and there was a 7-year-old child sucking on his mother's breasts. I didn't look long, but I was like, that's just not good. A 7-year-old boy was wanting mommy milk. That just ain't right. Can I at least get a witness in the room? And they have teeth. It's not right.
They had that on one of the movies Grown Ups too, where the child was.
Oh, I do remember that. But when you see it in person, it changes your life. My life was changed. No, it's not just in Ithaca. Here's the issue. We all know that that's just not okay. But in the spirit, it's okay, right? Man, you're 7 years old in Jesus, and you're still sucking milk. It's time to grow up. And the only way to grow up is if you and I are people that are going to exercise. Let me read the rest of the verse. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That means mature. That is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The only way to grow up is for you and I to use the principles that are in the Word that will allow us to step into the next level of then speaking the Word. So thank the Lord we lay hands on people. I still lay hands on folk, release the anointing. I love doing that. I love releasing the power of God. There's no greater high or thrill or exhilaration than when you're laying hands on people and the power of God literally gushes out of you. Many times I'll stand there and I'll literally feel the anointing literally just jump from my chest into their chest. I can just sense the anointing moving in a powerful manner. I've sensed the anointing almost like a coat or oil going over your head, and it literally just covers you. Hallelujah. And that, when I start talking about it, I get excited. Sorry. Because it's real. It's not a figment of my imagination. The anointing abides. The anointing abides. So you got to get it out. And you start by the laying on of hands. So you should be laying hands on yourself. You should be laying hands on your relatives. Listen, even if they don't know what you're doing. I had a girl, I don't remember her name. She was our drummer up in Newfield. And she worked for the Ithaca school system. And I just got done teaching my whole church this principles. And she said, but pastor, I get in trouble if I walk around praying for people at the school system. I said, well, who said you had to pray? You have to release. You have to flick the switch. So here she is. She says, I'm walking around the hallways. Just, hey, how are you? Flicking the switch, flicking the switch, flicking the switch. I had a wife whose husband was not serving the Lord in any way, shape, or form. One night, he went to bed, and I just got done teaching this. She said it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. She said he was out, snoring the whole beast. She said, I leaned over, pastor, and gently laid my hands on him and started releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he sat up in bed and said, what are you doing? Because the anointing is tangible. And that's the next one, is the anointing is tangible through objects. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So what happens is this, is that you usually see me carrying a handkerchief. It is because I spit. Honestly, I do spit. I apologize. One time I was preaching down in Tennessee, and a bunch of teenagers sat in the front row. I was really impressed until I saw what they were doing. The moment I would walk by them, all of them would pick up a notebook and put it in front of their face. Yes. Brother Shambach was telling a story about one time that he was preaching the word, and a woman ran up and gave him a piece of candy. He was getting ready to unravel it and eat it. And she goes, no, you don't understand. That's not for you to eat. I need you to wear it. Put it in your pocket while you preach. See, she understood the anointing was tangible. She understood the anointing was transferable. She understood that you could take a piece of cloth or an inanimate object and the anointing will literally penetrate into that piece. So what he didn't know was this woman's sister was in a mental institution. And she had been in a mental institution. And so they would steal everything. If she would bring clothes, they would steal clothes. If whatever she brought, they would steal. Except for, she said, for whatever reason, they never stole her candy. So that's why she brought a piece of candy. Shambach wore that piece of candy, and she came and got it after he was done preaching. And then she took that piece of candy, brought it to her sister. Her sister ate it, and within 24 hours, she was out of the mental institution. There are many times, and one example is Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. There was a young boy with a brain tumor. He was not in the service because he was in a lot of pain. And the next day, they were getting ready to do one more test on his brain. They had already confirmed through, I believe, his PET scans, the size of it and everything in that manner. But they were just testing one more thing. And so the parents came up and said, "Pastor, can we get your handkerchief after you're done preaching?" And I said, "Absolutely," which showed me they had been taught. It showed me they understood that the anointing is tangible, transferable. Even as I'm preaching now, I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I know if I can feel it in my body, I know that it's actually because I'm touching this. Every pore, every piece of fabric here is being saturated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They took my handkerchief and they laid it on that boy, and God healed that boy. When he went back for the test the next day, there was no more tumor in his head. It wasn't because of what I did. I'm not the healer. But the anointing that dwells, the anointing dwells. When we learn how to release that anointing, it can go into cloths. It will go into, in fact, what's amazing, one of the really cool things was, I remember Brother Ted Shuttlesworth came to my Bible school. I believe it was 1980. I want to say 1986. How many of you were not alive in 1986? Michael, don't raise your hand, please. How many of you were not alive in 1986? Dear God, I'm old. Okay, let's move on. So here I am, Brother Ted. We had a preacher back in those days, and he was a really, really, really boring preacher. In fact, we called the sermons Uncle Bill's Story Hour. And we would sit there, no one would listen, and we were all just doing our thing. And because you had to, now in Bible school, you had to go to church. There was no choice. You didn't go to church, you were expelled. And so we're in church, we didn't have a choice. Uncle Bill's Story Hour going on, we're bored to death. Dear God, get this over with, just shoot me. And Brother Ted comes, and he stands up in the pulpit, and he says, "The Holy Spirit reveals to me that many of you are making fun of this old man, but he has more anointing in his coat than you have in your whole life." He said, "Old man, take your coat off." He said, "Now if you want a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, get up here in line." I was first in line. One thing you know about me, or if you don't, I'll educate you. I don't fake nothing. I'm not into fake. Not into foolishness, not into that stuff. If it isn't real, you don't have to wonder about me, because I'm not into the end of the game factor. No need, no need. So I'm first in line. He said, "If you want a double portion, go under the coat." He had the old man holding one sleeve, and Brother Ted held the other sleeve. I want to let you know that I hit that coat. Now, I am very white. There are people that are white. And then there are people that are, yes, that's me. I used to be on a drama team, and the lady that I did a lot of the skits with, her name was Queenie. As you can tell, she was not white and from New Jersey, and Queenie could bust a move anyway. I mean, she was a really good dancer. I would start to dance, and Queenie would look at me and say, "You poor white boy, you poor white boy." She would, and she wasn't kidding. She wasn't even being nice. "You're just a poor white boy. Don't dance, please." When I hit that coat, I don't remember anything. They tell me I was dancing all over that sanctuary. There were 500 people in that sanctuary that night. And when you hit the coat, you were either out in the spirit and they had to drag you away because there was no more room, or you were off dancing somewhere. I've never been in one service where the anointing was so strong. And it was all because we went on underneath and through that old man's coat that held the anointing. I was in Big Flats, New York, actually. I was learning from an evangelist. He was teaching me how to flow in the Spirit. And he said, "Now watch, I'm gonna teach you how to hear in the Spirit." I said, "Great." He says, "Here, I've been wearing this coat all night long. The anointing is strong on it." He put it on my shoulders. He said, "Now listen, stop right here." People were laughing in the spirit in the sanctuary. He says, "That's going to stop in about 30 seconds. We stood there. Oof, the place went quiet. He never said a word. We never did anything. It was just a move of the spirit. Quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And he said, now listen, you're going to hear. I'm going to release the angels to go, and you're going to hear them. He said, angels, and he sent them on. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 that angels have been sent to work for the saints. And he sent them away, and you could literally hear them leave the room. It was really stinking cool. There are things in the spirit that are so powerful. But if we never even get to elementary school, how are we going to get to high school? So there's a need, and this is why sometimes on a Sunday morning you'll see somebody come up and say, can I have your handkerchief? Because they've been in this class, they understand it. And we've seen people healed. We've seen people delivered. It's not because of me. I can't heal a fly. I can't deliver a fly. But the anointing that abides, the anointing that abides, the anointing is the supernatural power of God. The anointing that abides, when you learn how to release it, it does supernatural exploits. So the power of God is releasable if you choose to go to elementary school. So it's not abnormal. Brother Terry can testify when people come up and steal my cloth. Actually, one time I had someone steal my Bible. Yeah, no, I stood up and said, get my Bible back here. It did mysteriously reappear within 2 weeks. Because we're using it. I'm in this, laying hands, the power of God, the anointing, the pages can absorb the anointing. Because are you anointed? Then what are you touching? We have people walk around the sanctuary releasing the anointing on the chairs. Why do we do that? Because it's a nice little thing to do for prayer. No. Yes, you release the anointing in fabric. Why? Because the anointing is transferable. And, yes.
Speaking of which, I left my overcoat here last Tuesday.
I'm not involved.
Oh, okay. Just work with
it. Yes, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
If you find it, let me know.
Let me.
If you find it, let me know. There was an evangelist, I believe it was, I'm trying to remember his name. I always forget this one guy's name. Who's the guy, Chad, that went overseas on a boat and John, thank you. John G. Lake, which if you've never read any of his things, you need to read some John G. Lake. John G. Lake he was there during the bubonic plague in Africa, and he would go into villages and start laying hands on people, they get healed. And the scientists were so mesmerized, they said, we don't understand how you're not dead. And he said, I'll show you. The anointing destroys every single disease. He said, I'll prove it to you. They went and got microscopes. They put his hand under the microscope. They put the bubonic plague on his hand and watched it shrivel up and die. He had another individual that had scar tissue 5 layers deep on their stomach. He walked over, laid hands on their stomach in the name of Jesus, and when he turned around and left, his handprint was down 5 layers in the scar tissue. I know, we're Americans, right? We don't believe in the supernatural, but we sure do flock to psychics. We just don't believe in the power of God in church. Oh, that's right. We can, if I had a microphone. So it's important to recognize. Now, here's another one that's really cool. Another way to release the anointing is through spitting. I just want to let you know Jesus did this more than once. He didn't just do it once. He did it more than once. You know, we're Americans. You can heal me as long as it's in a nice manner. Just don't mess my hair up. Please don't let my clothes get wrinkled. I don't want to look foolish in front of people. Well, listen, you're not sick enough if you don't care whatever it takes. At some point in time, you get sick enough of what your life is, and you don't care what people say or what people think. You just want to be set free. And when you get to that place, even if someone spits on you, Mark chapter 7, 33 through 35. And Jesus took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Dear God, I don't even double dip, never mind spitting and touching his tongue. Then looking to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha. That was my interpretation. That is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened and his impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. So this guy was healed because Jesus spat and touched his tongue. I know, huh? Dear God, I don't know if I want to get healed that bad. Amazingly enough, there is a story in the archives of the Assemblies of God. There was an evangelist called the Spitting Evangelist. That's what he was known for, spitting. One day he was in a back mountains, and this person came. Remember, I was telling you about the individual where their hand came to, was formed at their elbow area. There was nothing beyond. The spitting evangelist walked over, spit on that person, spit on their arm, and their arm grew out in front of everybody. And it was evidence validated and put in the archives of the Assemblies of God. Whatever you had need of, the evangelist would spit on you. If you had a headache, he'd spit on your head. He'd spit on you. But he got results. But I don't want those results. Then you're not sick enough. Because at some point in time, you're going to say, God, whatever it takes to get the anointing in my life. Now, the next one, which is really cool, is called the shadow. The shadow knows. Acts chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on some of them. So watch now. The anointing of God was so strong in Peter's life that even his shadow of Peter, when it touched someone, was healed. Just the shadow. See how elementary we really are? If you never start with the laying on of hands, don't worry about your shadow. I'm working on the shadow thing. I tried the spitting. It didn't work. The guy was kind of mad, actually. It was funny, though. Let's move on. No, I really did try it. I figured, what's he going to do? You know? He'll work or it won't. No, I needed healing after he gave me the black eye. No, but he was mad. So this next one is the shadow. I mean, literally the anointing was so strong on Peter's life that when his shadow touched somebody, they were healed. It's time to really start pressing beyond. God needs you. God has you places. Now, we are all very thankful that Brother Smith Wigglesworth is not alive today. I'm telling you right now, most people would not go to his service. Americans would not go to his service because he was very hands-on. You saw how I laid hands on him. That's nice compared to what Smith Wigglesworth would do. One time they brought a baby that was, brought a baby to his service that was unable to walk, and he punted the child off the stage. I mean, he walked up and boom. Kicked the kid. When the kid hit the floor, the kid was walking. A person died He walked into the room and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get up. They didn't get up. He walked over, grabbed them by the shirt, picked him up, threw him against the wall, and said, I told you in the name of Jesus to come alive. Slid down the wall, picked him up again, threw him against the wall. And finally, the guy came back to life. Was it seven times? Seven times before he came back to life. And, oh, that guy was the one embalmed? And he was embalmed. You do know what that means, right? Embalmed means there's no more blood in their body. They take their guts out. They're being put in a casket. So God had to recreate the blood. God had to recreate the guts. Their eyes were sewed shut and the whole thing. Miracles, man. The issue that we have in America is we live in America. And we rely so much upon science and doctors who, and I love doctors. We have doctors that come to this church. Every year, doctors kill 100,000 people on accident. They kill double the amount of men that were killed in the Vietnam War on accident every single year. I want to remind you that doctors practice medicine. Some of them are more experts than others, but they're all still practicing because they're not the creator. Jesus is the great physician. But yet the church puts more faith in a doctor than we do in Christ. And I'll tell you why, though, and it falls on the threshold of the pastors. Pastors are not teaching their people to lay hands on individuals. They're not teaching the people where the anointing abides. They're not teaching the people that they have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They're not teaching them, so the people aren't exercising them. So the people in the world have no other choice but to go to science. And because of that, the pastors aren't teaching the people to be healed, so the church doesn't have a choice but to go to the doctors. Listen, I'm not speaking against doctors. I believe in doctors. But the fact is that doctors, very rare, listen, it's less than 1% of all medications have healing element to them at all. 1%. So 99% of all medication are masks. They don't heal you. They cover a symptom. That's fact. The church has relied so much on that we no longer come to Christ. So therefore, there's no need for the anointing. If you never use your car, you never have to put gas in it. You need to learn how to start laying hands. So if you're a husband and a wife, you need to start laying hands on each other every day in the name of Jesus. You might not feel a blessed thing for a month, but all of a sudden you're going to feel that. Now listen, I'm not talking having sex. I'm not talking about that. Behave yourself. I'm talking laying hands on and releasing the anointing. You need to do that. Now if you're not married, but you have a roommate, lay hands on your roommate. If you don't have a roommate and you have a dog, lay hands on your dog. You need to start practicing by reason of use is what the scripture said. That's how you mature. If you never practice, you'll never learn. If you never learn, you never leave elementary school. If you never leave elementary school, you cannot become a mathematician. You can only learn to stay in elementary 1 + 1 = 2. And God needs you. That's why you're here. The reason God gave you the supernatural power of God is because people need the supernatural power of God released in their life. I'll just read this one. Ready? It's a good one. Harforsh mentioned in one meeting A.A. Allen and Smith Wigglesworth as great men. He then tells a story of how he was shocked at what they would do under the anointing. By the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was telling him to do the same. He related a story about how God spoke to him to punch a woman in her deteriorating jaw. Now listen, if you've been around Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, I've seen him hit people. They get healed. So he punched her in the face. She hit the floor out cold, and when she came to, she was healed by the power of God. He punched another in the stomach and healed a tumor. I'd hate to think what he'd do to an impotent man. That is just horrible. This is suspiciously similar to Kenneth Hagin's Tale of the Spirit. And why not? The Rodney Howard Brown connection to Hagin is there. If you can find in the Bible any apostle physically do such a thing to anyone, please inform me of this. Harfouch does seem to take the Wigglesworth approach. A woman in tormenting pain came up for prayer. Her back was deteriorating, and I said, turn around and show me where it is. When I said that, the pastor knew I was going to hit her in the back. His wife knew I was going to hit her in the back, and his wife knew I was going to hit her in the back. I don't know why that was repeated. It's a typo. Later, the pastor told me, I almost stopped you and said, don't hit her in the back. She's in a lot of pain. But before he could talk me out of it, I hit her in the back. And she was completely healed by the power of God. Why? Because there is a knowing that can operate in you. If you have never gotten on YouTube and watched A.A. Allen, you need to do that tonight. I remember this one story where this person was brought in a wheelchair and their leg was like fused at the knee. He literally walked up and went, and they were healed. Problem, you're never going to get there if you don't start at elementary school. You got to start laying hands on people. Even if they don't know what you're doing, lay hands on people. You walk up to a sinner, you lay hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, I release the anointing. I want you to know, they're going to think you're strange. But you can walk up to them and just touch them, and you know that in faith you're releasing the power of God. Now remember, the power of God destroys yokes of bondage. So you might not know what God's doing in their life. They might not understand what God's doing in their life, but God is breaking bondages in their life, whether they realize it or not, because the anointing was just transferred. You're powerful people. Yes. Yeah, Benny Hinn. Yeah, Benny Hinn, man, he's pretty aggressive in the spirit, but he sees amazing miracles, like amazing. Actually, when you really start watching Benny Hinn, if you've ever gone to one of his conferences, what's really cool about Benny Hinn is, you know all the people that get out of wheelchairs at Benny Hinn's ministry? Benny Hinn's not the one praying for them. There's a white-haired woman that's down there working with all of the people in wheelchairs. She was the right-hand person to Catherine Kuhlman that now works in Benny Hinn's ministry. She's the one pulling him out of wheelchairs. Benny Hinn's up front. Brother Ted, he put a whole deaf and mute school out of business down in Mexico. She wrote him a really nasty letter, the teacher. You'll notice that many of the evangelists will have a specialty. Brother Ted's is usually ears and eyes. And, you know, I've seen him. He's so sharp now in the spirit with the gifts of the word of knowledge that down at the bishop's last 2 weeks ago, he actually walked up. And I've seen it in Rochester once, but walked up and I was actually able to say, your name is, and told him their name. I've watched him when he was in Rochester say, you live on boom, boom, and he named the street. Sister Shirley and Brother Ed, I was at the meeting when he walked up and he pulled Sister Shirley out and Brother Ed, and he said, sir, you have already one stent in your heart. They're going to get ready to put three more is what they've told you. Is that correct? And he said, yes, sir. You're on four medications. Yes, sir. He said to Shirley, now, the reason that God is touching him specifically tonight by this open show is because this morning you were in your kitchen and you stepped out. Now let me show you what's going on here. He said, when you open the door to your house and you step out, it steps down three steps and you have two pair of boots down at the bottom step, and there's this picture right here on the wall, and this is what's on the picture. You were so overwhelmed you leaned against the wall because you were overwhelmed and you asked God to touch your husband. And he says, the Lord heard you. He touched her, she blew out of her shoes, and then he touched Ed and was healed and was no longer on medication. That's the folks that sit right here. I was licking my thumb because I got honey on it. It wasn't anything spiritual. But we all need to start where? Elementary school. So the laying on of hands. Here is your homework. You need to lay hands on at least five people by next Tuesday. This is Tuesday, right? You need to lay hands on at least five people by next Tuesday. You don't need to walk up and, wow! You don't need to do any of that stuff. Just release the anointing. And what we're asking God to do in your life is that when you release the anointing, you will literally feel the power of God leave your body. That's what we want to do. And that's what we're going to practice. Amen? Okay, stand up on your feet. I'm late. I apologize. I want to remind you to be a sower, to be a tither. Our house is a blessed house. And we just finished Rock the City. And so I just encourage you as a sower and a tither. You know, I'm just going to say this. If we just doubled the amount of tithers in our church, right now we have 13% of the body that are tithers. If the body doubled, could you realize I would never once have to stand up and ask for another offering? Isn't that cool? You know how you got sick of it this year? No? Well, good, then I'll do it again Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. You know, honestly, it became belaboring this year. I will never have to do that again if even 13% more of the body tithe here. I'll never have to ask for a dollar again from the pulpit. Why do we ask for a dollar? Because it costs a dollar or two or ten or... And so I just want to challenge you, be a sower, be a reaper, be a tither, and God will always bless you in your funds. Amen? Amen? Father, I just release a blessing on the house in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare right now by the power of Jesus' name that, Lord, each one that will step out in faith to move in your elementary principle, the laying on of hands, will literally feel tangibly, God, that anointing go out of them. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to teach us. Holy Spirit, you live in us. Teach us how to move in the power of God. Teach us how to release that power that you have inside of us, that we can help people. Lord, your anointing helps people. Lord, it heals people. It encourages people. I pray, Lord, you'll use us for your glory, and that, Lord, we'll stop living such a natural life and start living the supernatural life that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you. Thank you. Was that an all right class?